Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Now, if you've listened to the show before, you know that for a little while we've been doing questions and answers. We get those questions from listeners just like you through email. You can send your questions to radio@faithalone.org. Now, our featured question for today is this. When did believing in Jesus, in particular, for eternal salvation begin? What an interesting question. Have you ever thought about the timeline of all of this stuff? Well, I know that Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar have, so let's go to their discussion and see what they have to tell us. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
I was about to say I'm being Robin Williams, you know, imitating Robin Williams.
You're really
interesting guy, you know.
Yep.
Isn't it so true that he suffered from depression?
And, right.
Did he commit suicide?
Yeah.
He did. Isn't that just the story you hear over and over again? The people who are kind of laughing and smiling on the outside are the ones who are kind of struggling the most on the inside. Yeah. You know, if you struggle from depression, one, you should definitely focus on Jesus. Go and get into the Word. Focus on Him.
Amen.
But tell somebody.
Yep.
Just tell somebody. You might be listening to us, and we might be like your connection to the faith, but we are not a substitute for a local family of believers.
That's absolutely right, Sean. We're not a local church, so our encouragement to you is plug into a local church, and that local church can help you, encourage you. You can speak with the pastor or one of the pastors or one of the elders, and they will have someone that can help you. And we have a list of churches on our website under Connect that you can find churches that agree with our position. If there's not a church close in your area, find another church that's conservative and close to you and that preaches the Bible clearly.
Yeah, at the very least, get together with a small group. Get together with flesh and blood Christians and you know, talk to them. You know, let them talk to you. And just last night, I was getting together with some guys, and we've kind of become friends over the years. Our wives are close friends, and so now the husbands are starting to get to know each other. And although we didn't really want to at first, when Abby first started suggesting, hey, my friend has this husband, and you should hang out with him, I was like, I don't want a play date. Don't set up a play date with me. I'm not interested in that. But we've really become friends with these group of guys over the course of the year, and we've just added two guys last night. And we all have the same story. We have not had close guy friends for decades.
Wow.
Not since we were kids. And we realize we're all kind of all in the same situation in life, having young kids. And we realize now that we really needed that fellowship, because that's how God created us. He created us for face-to-face fellowship. So we're thrilled to be able to minister to you through the internet or through your radio. But that's not a substitute for face-to-face fellowship.
Amen.
For sure. All right. Well, that was a long digression, but are you ready for a question?
Let's do it.
Okay. This is a question from John. This is my friend John. And he says, I understand that people before Jesus' birth were saved to everlasting life by belief in the coming Messiah. I assume that that's now no longer sufficient and that you must believe in Yeshua in particular. If this is so, when did it become necessary to believe in Yeshua and not in the coming Messiah? For example, would a Jew living in, say, Spain in the year 40 AD, who had never heard of Jesus, have been able to get everlasting life through believing in the coming Messiah?
Yeah, there are lots of interesting questions like this, so I appreciate John's question. There's a couple of questions here, so
okay.
let's take a stab at it. First of all, before Jesus' birth, were people born again by believing in the coming Messiah? I would say the answer is clearly yes, and they were believing in him for everlasting life, or for their eternal salvation. And we know this for several reasons. First of all, in Genesis 15:6, Moses tells us Abraham believed God, and his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness.
Yeah.
And Paul picks up on this, of course, in Romans chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 3, and says, see, this shows us that justification is by faith in Christ apart from works.
Yeah.
Of course, Jesus said in John 8:56, Abraham rejoiced to see my day.
Mm-hmm.
So Abraham wasn't believing generically in God. Abraham was believing specifically in Messiah.
Right.
And we know that because when you read Genesis 15:1-5, it's talking about Abraham's seed, the son that would be born from Abraham and Sarah.
Yeah.
And so this is the promised Messiah. And of course, Jesus said, John 8:56, he rejoiced to see my day. But it's not just a belief that Messiah is coming. It's believing in him for their eternal destiny. And another reason we know that is John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. That's where Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and other legalistic Jews. And he says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
But these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to believe in me that you may have life.
Yeah.
In other words, the Old Testament scriptures testified of Yeshua.
Yeah.
Even if it didn't.
And by the way, Yeshua is the Jewish name for Jesus.
For either Jesus or for salvation or for Joshua.
Yeah.
This term Yeshua occurs a lot in the Old Testament. They knew the Messiah was to be the Savior.
Right.
And that's the same basic idea of Yeshua is the one who saves. And so, yes, were people born again by believing in the coming Messiah? Yes, but not just believing he was coming.
And not just he was like a political Messiah.
Right. But
this
believing
is the Savior who gives eternal salvation.
Right.
This is the Savior who solves the death problem that enters into the world in Genesis 3.
Right.
And that God then promises in 3:15 that the seed of the woman was going to crush the head of the serpent.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that Genesis 3:15 is a lot like John 3:15. You know, that when Jesus is lifted up, that whoever believes in him has everlasting life. The second part of John's question is, today, now, does a person need to believe in Yeshua or Jesus? Yeshua would be the ancient Hebrew way of referring to the name Jesus.
Right.
Well, the answer is yes, but another way of saying it is people today are born again by believing in Jesus the Messiah for their everlasting life, for their eternal destiny.
It's not enough to believe that he's a good teacher, not enough to believe that he existed. You have to believe that he's your Savior, and you have to understand what kind of salvation he gives.
Absolutely.
Eternal salvation.
And now, I remember I had a conversation with a friend of mine who had a PhD in patristics, that's ancient Greek fathers, from UCLA, and he had read some of the things we had written. I believe this was back around the year 98, and he said, you know, you point to John 11, 25 to 27, where Martha says, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And that's how she knows she has everlasting life and she'll never die spiritually. And he said, you tie that in with John 20, 31. These things I've written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
Right.
And of course, 1 John 5, 1 says, anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So he said, well, to believe that Jesus is a Christ is simply to believe he's Messiah. He's the anointed one. And so are you saying that anyone who believes that Jesus is the anointed one, the Christ, is born again, regardless of what they believe about work salvation or by faith? I said, no, of course not.
No.
And he said, well, how do you get there? My response to him is, look, it's not just believing that Yeshua existed or that Jesus is Messiah. It's believing that Jesus is Messiah in the sense that John uses that expression.
Right.
And the way John uses it in John 11, 25 to 27 is Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. That's the promise of resurrection or glorification. And he who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's the promise of everlasting life, that the one who believes in him will never die spiritually. They have everlasting life. And then he says, do you believe this? And her answer is not, yes, Lord, I believe that whoever believes in you, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in you shall never die. Instead, she explains why she knows that's true.
Right.
Because he's the Messiah, the Son of God.
Right.
And so, in the Johannine sense, to believe that Jesus is Messiah is to believe that he guarantees everlasting life to the believer. And the third thing is, John asks, what about, let's say, a Jew in Spain in 40 AD? Could they believe in the coming Messiah and yet not believe in Jesus, not believe in Yeshua?
Well, in his example, the news about Jesus hasn't reached Spain at this point.
Right.
They haven't heard about him.
And the answer would be yes and no. If they were born again before Jesus' baptism, then they would still be born again if they have not yet heard the name of Jesus.
Okay.
However, If they had not been born again before Jesus' baptism, then it's no longer sufficient to believe in generic Messiah for everlasting life. You must believe that Jesus himself is Messiah.
So you think the message changed
at Jesus' baptism. When the Father announces from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Yeah. From that point forward, people must believe specifically in Jesus. Now, I would say to John, I don't think there's ever been a person or ever will be a person who believed in the Messiah of the Old Testament for their eternal destiny who did not learn that Jesus is that Messiah and believe in Yeshua for everlasting life. That would be a disconnect. I don't think there's ever been a case of anybody who would have believed in the Messiah for everlasting life who God didn't reveal that Jesus is the Messiah. Of course, as you know, it's extremely common in Judaism in the first century and today to believe in work salvation. So they weren't believing in Messiah for everlasting life. And so a Jew in Spain in 40 AD, if they were following the teachings of their synagogue, would believe in work salvation.
So this hypothetical person living in Spain in 40 AD, what was your answer to that? If he had believed in the coming Messiah, he would be saved. If he hadn't yet believed in the coming Messiah, he would have to explicitly believe in Jesus to be saved.
Right. Let's say in 40 AD, he comes to believe the promised Messiah, faith in him would give him eternal life. He would not be born again at that point, but God would bring him the message of Christ,
somehow,
and then he would be born again.
Somehow, God would send a vision or an angel or
right.
a dream or something. Or
right. Acts 16:9, the Macedonian vision, a man from Macedon says, "Come over to us, bring us the message of Christ." That was the first entrance of the gospel into Europe. And, of course, it did go to Spain. It went to Spain through various believers. Now, the apostles didn't get there quickly, but they did get there.
Well, I don't know the answer to that question, but I know the person who does,
Amen.
And I trust him. Thank you, John, for that question, and that's a hard one. Keep on sending those questions to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, guys, for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about how to disagree in a godly manner. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.